Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
9:24 here on WWL. Tommy Tucker has taken some much-earned time off. He'll be back with you on Friday morning. I'm going to host this show again on Thursday. Tomorrow is New Year's Day, so we got some special Odyssey holiday programming coming down the pike for you while the rest of us get a little bit of time off. Before we step away, I guess I should make sure I have a chance to thank Colin Steele and Jordan Fiegel for helping me run the show today. It's been fun. Can't wait to do it again on Thursday. Hey, joining us on the line right now is Zach Nagy. He's the publisher of LSU Tigers for Sports Illustrated. Zach, welcome to the show. Good morning and Happy New Year.
Good morning. Happy New Year. I appreciate you for having me on.
Yeah, you're right. What's the most important thing for people to know about LSU and Baylor going into the Texas Bowl in a couple hours here?
Yeah, look, it's going to be a fun one. For LSU, it's kind of a new-look team. You have 17 players entering the transfer portal, a bunch of opt-outs. So you kind of have a new look group for this team. At the wide receiver position for me is where I'm keeping all tabs on. You're losing Kyron Lacy, CJ Daniels, both a pair of starters that are departing the program. Kind of look at Xavion Thomas, Aaron Anderson, Chris Hilton. You get to look at them, but the wide receiver four spot is really where I'm keeping tabs. I want to see which freshman they go to. Is it Jelani Watkins? Is it going to be Kylan Billiott? Really want to see which direction Brian Kelly and company go in moving forward there. And then the offensive line. Yeah, that's kind of where all the buzz is at right now. You're going to be without three starters, Will Campbell, Emory Jones, and Garrett Dellinger. Which youngsters are you going to go to there is really where I'm going to keep tabs on as well. So it's intriguing to see where they're going to go. It's a bunch of moving parts on offense right now. Defensively, you're going to have a lot of your starters in the mix. You're having Greg Penn in. You're going to have your entire defensive line. The secondary is going to be a little bit of shakeup, but not too much. So defensively, you're going to be sound with a lot of starters from the 2024 season. Offensively is where there's going to be some moving parts. Intrigued to see which direction they go in. It should be a fun one in Houston.
How do you see Garrett Nussmeier performing against Baylor's defense today?
Yeah, I think Garrett Nussmeier is just he's a gunslinger, and I know he doesn't like that narrative, but it is what it is. There's some decision making like kind of issues that he's still working through there, but he's a playmaker and he's continuing to evolve as the season goes on. I think he's going to have the ability to carve up that Baylor defense and do just about whatever he wants. It's a matter of using the weapons that he does have. Because, like I was saying a second ago, you're without CJ Daniels. You're without Kyron Lacy, your wide receiver one. Can his other weapons step up to the plate and become the playmakers that you need? I see Garrett Nussmeier having a good game, and kind of time will tell. But I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do out there.
Great. I got some more detailed questions about offense, defense, who's going to exploit what weaknesses and so on. But I did want to talk just a second about the Texas Bowl and how this typically ranks in terms of importance or prestige, I guess you might say, among the other college football bowl games. How do we consider the Texas Bowl?
Yeah, look, in today's day and age, it's all college football playoff or bust, right? You enter those games, you're one of those 12 teams, and you have a chance to play for a national championship. And all the other games have kind of become somewhat irrelevant in a way, for better or for worse, just because you're not playing for that, you know, that crown jewel, that national championship. But for me, all these bowl games do matter because you have the opportunity to carry the momentum into the offseason. And for Brian Kelly and company, it's an opportunity to get win number 9. You're going into a pivotal offseason. So to get a win here is monstrous, in my opinion, just so that you can carry the momentum into the offseason and really see your players shine. So though you're not playing for a natty, you're not playing for anything of that kind of that nature, it's a big one just because the opportunity to get a win here and propel that to the offseason is critical. But when it comes to, you know, bowl games and whatnot, not necessarily the prized game here, but one nonetheless that does have some implications for this team.
Great. Thank you. All right. So if we're talking about Baylor's game plan, how are Garrett and company going to exploit any potential weaknesses they see here and eke out a W?
Yeah, Baylor's a team that's led by former LSU defensive coordinator Dave Aranda. So There's some ties there between the programs. And we know Dave Aranda is a defensive-minded guy, but his offense has been really dynamic this year. Their quarterback is playing some superb ball. They have a nice rushing attack. And then you fast forward to the defense. there's some gaps there that the team can kind of utilize to their advantage when it comes to LSU. And that starts with Garrett Nussmeier taking the top off the defense. Their defensive backs aren't superior. And this is where you can see a guy like Chris Hilton carry his momentum into this one. We saw him take that next step in the end of the season. We saw him have a good game against Oklahoma, Vanderbilt. He was starting to hit his stride. So now for him, it's about carrying that into this bowl game. And you can see Garrett Nussmeier take the top off the defense with Chris Hilton being a vertical threat, maybe find some short-term plays when it comes to Aaron Anderson and Trey Des Green. The passing game should be fun here. The run game could be a spot where LSU may struggle just because it's the offensive line that's not accustomed to playing. It's a new-look group. But for Garrett Nussmeier, it's about taking the top off the defense, utilizing Chris Hilton, and hopefully getting Trey Des Green, the new tight end, a little bit more involved as well.
Yeah, there's something going on here. They got a pretty limited depth at tight end. Trey Des Green is he's the only one. We have exactly one tight end today.
That's correct. Mason Taylor's departing for the NFL draft. Kamorian Pimpton took his talents to TCU in the transfer portal. So when it comes to the tight end position, you are limited right there. And it starts with Trey Des Green. And
okay.
He's a guy who's fantastic. He was a five-star tight end at a high school, 6'7", 245-pound monster. So Trey Des is a player that you can use in a bunch of different spots, specifically as a receiving threat. And I think that's what's going to benefit Garrett Nussmeier most, just because if you need to check it down and kind of have that safety net, that's really what Trey Des Green can be if needed. But obviously you can't sleep on him as a true receiver. He can also get out and break off those 15-yard routes so Garrett Nussmeier can hit him on the intermediate routes as well. So a true threat. Nonetheless, it is just one tight end on the roster right now, but Trey Des is a pretty good option to have if you only have one.
Nice. Love that. Okay, great. I'm glad you mentioned the transfer portal. I think during the holiday season, some people kind of check out and may not know exactly. What were the big portal losses and gains for LSU for those who might not have tuned in the first time?
Yeah, when it comes to the losses, for me, it starts with C.J. Daniels and Kamorian Pimpton. And
yeah.
C.J. Daniels might not have had this stat sheet that kind of jumps off the page, but he was a starting receiver and a guy who could really, really improve this team moving forward. I mean, he's a good blocker. He's a good high IQ player. He has experience. He's played 5 years of college ball. So it's a player that is a significant loss for this team, in my opinion. But you went out and replaced him with guys like Nick Anderson, the number 11 overall transfer in the portal, Barry and Brown, a top 20 player in the portal. So you went out and got two receivers that are going to come in and make immediate impacts on day one. And then another big-time loss was going to be Kamorian Pimpton in that tight end room like we were just talking about a second ago. And then fast forward to the additions, and it comes in with Bauer Sharp. He led Oklahoma in receptions and receiving yards a season ago. So you're going out and getting another high-caliber, immediate-impact guy. So there's definitely some positions of loss, but there are some guys that are coming in to make an immediate impact as well. So you're filling the gaps. You're filling the void. And LSU is definitely putting together a championship-caliber roster next season. So offensively, you made some additions. And then defensively, if I'm just going to highlight one, it's going to be Virginia Tech transfer Mansoor Delane. He's a cornerback. He's fantastic. He's versatile. He can play the safety spot, cornerback. He's just a Swiss Army knife in the defensive backfield. So to go out and get him really gives you a really, really impressive addition. LSU's got 8 top 100 transfers heading to Baton Rouge, the number one transfer portal hall in America. So they're doing some damage there. And Brian Kelly's certainly going into 2025 with a national championship or bust mentality.
I love it. Yeah, it hasn't exactly been a red-letter season for the Fighting Tigers. But, you know, everything for all the reasons you just described. And let's say LSU gets a win today. How does that impact their momentum going into the offseason in 2025?
Yeah, I think it's critical, man. You got Garrett Nussmeier returning in 2025. That's your crown jewel, your key piece coming back. For him to get the win here and carry that into January, February, March, when spring camp begins, I think it's big. It helps with your confidence, and it's much needed. And it starts with the other weapons as well. So it's a big one for this team to go out and get 9 wins. I think 9-4 looks a little bit better than 8-5. I know it's not what the standard is in Baton Rouge, but nonetheless, to go out and get win number 9 is big for this program, and certainly, like you were alluding to, one that will give them confidence in order to carry that momentum into the offseason.
What are we doing? LSU's a 3.5-point underdog here?
They are, and it's just because there's a lot of opt-outs, a lot of players kind of entering the portal. You're going to be without 20-plus players that are usually on this roster. So LSU's limited to a certain degree, but it's going to be one where I still think LSU could have the edge. Baylor's riding a 6-game win streak. They're hot right now, and the sports books are riding with that momentum as well. But there's a lot of different expert models that you can look at. The ESPN Football Power Index, we got LSU as the favorite, but most of the sports books are leaning towards Baylor. It's a toss-up in my opinion, but nonetheless, when you look at those books, they're favoring Baylor significantly.
Am I tripping? I feel like I read in your piece on SI that you have LSU winning 28-24. Are you sticking by that?
I'm sticking by that for now. I'm riding with Garrett Nussmeier, believe in what they're building right now. Obviously, you're going to be without some guys at the offensive line. I've talked about the offensive line a lot just because it's going to be a shaky spot. I'm intrigued to see what they kind of work with there. But I think Garrett Nussmeier's got the weapons to do some damage here. He's got Caden Durham back, Tre'Davious Green. Your defense, I mean, look, defensive coordinator Blake Baker, he's a mastermind. He's a wizard on defense. If you give him a month to game plan for a team, I feel like that puts you in a good position to be successful. So I'm definitely going to sit back and ride with LSU here. And I know it sounds like a homer take and bias just because I cover the team, but I believe in what the defense can do here. I think Garrett Nussmeier has the weapons. I think it'll be a close one. I'm going to ride with LSU here. But nonetheless, I do understand why the sports books are favoring Baylor.
Yeah, Zach, I'm glad you mentioned you sit back. It's your job to follow the Tigers for Sports Illustrated. What do you do when it's game time? You watch at home? You with friends? You alone? Are you taking notes? Is it more fun or is it more work for you?
Oh, man, it's all work, man. All work, no play when it comes to some of these LSU games. It's a busy time of the year. We got transfer portal buzz. We have obviously LSU playing in this bowl game, a bunch of other stuff, women's basketball, men's basketball. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of moving parts when it comes to me right now, but certainly all work, no play when it comes to covering the Tigers.
Word. All right. My guest is Zach Nagy. He's the publisher of LSU Tigers for Sports Illustrated. Enjoy the game insofar as you're able to do that today, Zach, and Happy New Year. Thanks for making time this morning.
Thank you so much. Happy New Year, man. You have a good one.
And to you as well.